Happy Sunday, everyone, and welcome to Prestonwood Live. We are so excited to have you here with us online right here in Plano, Texas. We know we have people in Texas, but also all over the world. In fact, we'd love to hear where you're joining us from today. Jump in the comments right now. If you're on Facebook, YouTube Live, Church Online, we have hosts there as well that want to personally greet you. But we'd love to know, hey, where are you joining from today? And let us know as well if we can pray for you in any way. This is a month of prayer, focused prayer here at Prestonwood. We're going to be talking about that more in the service, but we also want you to know online, we want you to partner in prayer with us, and we want to pray for you personally. So let us know if we can pray for you in any way. Well, this is a special Sunday here today at Prestonwood. We are walking through 1 Peter chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2. So grab your Bibles, and Pastor Green will be preaching a message on the Jesus book, his brand new book, all about how the Bible is Jesus' book and what a timely word for today. So we know you're going to want to text a friend, invite a friend, share on social media, and let's worship Jesus together right now.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Welcome to Prestonwood. Will you stand and worship with us today? It's so good to see you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's lift his name up, Yahweh.
Yeah.
tell me it's holy. Listen, we're singing holy. He reigns, tell him he's holy. We're singing holy. He reigns, we're singing holy. Our sacrifices. Do you believe that this morning? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Welcome to Prestonwood. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors. Before we do anything else this morning, why don't you find someone you haven't said good morning to yet? Greet them, say hello, introduce yourself.
Well, amen, amen. Why don't you go ahead and find a seat? We want to continue in worship this morning. We do want to say a word of welcome to each and every one of you that have come here to worship with us in this place called Prestonwood, this people of God, this family of faith. And we are so thankful and so honored and so blessed today, are we not? By the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. The Lord's been moving in our lives all throughout our church this week. And so for all of you here in the room and for everybody joining us online, all of our online community from parts all over the world, thank you so much for you participating with us in worship today. It's our joy and our honor to welcome you in to this time as we worship and lift high the name of Jesus, the name above all names. And so if you are guest with us today, you're visiting, maybe this is your first time at Prestonwood. I already met some of you in the room right now. This is your first time at Prestonwood, or others of you, you've been visiting for a while. We hope that today you feel at home. And one thing we'd love for you to do for us, if you would take just a moment, we'd love to know that you were here, and we'd love to know how we could be praying for you. And you can do that by texting the word connect. You've got a prompt there on the screen for you how you can do that. Just text the word connect to the number 74788, and that'll cue our team to know how we can encourage you, how we can pray for you both today and in the days ahead. After the conclusion of our service, we'd invite you to head out to Guest Central. If you are a guest with us today, or maybe you have some questions about our church or how you can get connected or engaged in ministry here, our team would love to talk with you. We have a special gift that our pastor wants to share with you today just for being our guest. So on the way out after our services today, head out to Guest Central. We'd love to serve you, and we'd love to pray for you. In fact, this is an emphasis. This month, our pastor's been leading us in a prayer emphasis for our neighbors and our neighborhoods and even for the nations. And we've been asking the Lord now for several days this month that God would move in a powerful and mighty way in our city. I hope you'll grab one of our prayer guides on the tables on any of our worship exit doors today as you go. But as we were praying, as we were planning, and as we were praying and preparing for today, we know there's many in this room under the sound of my voice who you may have a particular need, a particular struggle. And I want to invite right now all of our prayer warriors, our ministers, their wives. They're going to be stationing all over this room, here on the floor, and in the terrace, and even in the balcony. And so as they come to take their places right now, I just want to invite you. Maybe you're here today and you've got a
a real need, a real burden, a real struggle in your life. Maybe it's a health burden. You're confronting some real challenges in your health. Maybe you're here with your spouse or a family member and they're going through a significant health battle. Maybe you've got some financial struggles, relationship strains, big decisions coming up, anxieties that you're dealing with, some struggles that nobody would know about, but God knows. And maybe you just need somebody in this place, in this moment, who'd stand with you, who'd stand alongside you, who you could come and just share and say, hey, I've got some stuff going on. I've got some things in my life. Would you just take a moment and pray for me? All throughout this room for the next few moments, our ministers, their wives, our prayer warriors, they're going to be positioned and they're here to stand with you. We say all the time here at Prestonwood, we never walk alone. And this is living, breathing evidence that we want to stand with you as you stand for the Lord and you walk by faith. Folks are already moving right now to come and be prayed for. If that's you, this is your cue. This is your opportunity. Come find one of these ministers and their wives and come and let us have the privilege to pray for you. The book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence in our hour of need. Psalm 46 verse 1 says that the Lord is a refuge and strength, that as believers in the Lord Jesus, we can run to him in our hour of need. And so as you're moving and as we have the privilege to pray, I want to invite us to stand. We're going to have a time of worship. We're going to sing about how God's never changed, about how he's the same God. And as we're singing and worshiping, if God's moving and prompting you, you come. Let us pray for you right now.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me.
Come on, let's declare our need today. Lift it up.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own child. Oh God, my God,
people are moving all over this room. People are being prayed for right now. And as we sing, I'm just reminded of the words of that song, that he is faithful, church. He is faithful, church. Amen. God is faithful. When our faith is weak, He's strong. When our strength is gone, He is faithful. And so, Lord Jesus, as we continue in this moment of worship, Father, we are reminded how great Your faithfulness is. Father, we know this morning in this place and online, we've got people that love You and are following You, and their health is weak, God, and they're crying out to You for healing and for hope. God, we know we've got people today who are struggling with their financial life and their relationships, maybe in their marriage. God, we know we've got people right now who are crying out to You the names of a child or a grandchild who have drifted far from You. And Father, we just need to be reminded how great Your faithfulness is in this place right now. Lord, I'm praying over somebody right now that needs to be reminded that even though their strength is gone and their hope is failing, God, that You've never changed. Your word never changes. Your faithfulness never diminishes. It never drops off. It never goes away. It's both now and forever. And the same God that parted oceans and sent His people across rivers and redeemed and rescued and, yes, even shed His blood on the cross and conquered the grave and conquered death, that's the same God who can meet us right where we are today. So, Father, we're just praying and we're just seeking and we're just worshiping You right now in this place, Lord. Would You just receive our worship, God, and be near to us, Lord. Your word says in Psalm 147 that You are near to the brokenhearted. And so, Lord, we draw near to You, Father. Draw near to us in this place. God, we worship You, Jesus. We lift Your name high. You are the same Almighty God.
Your children, then You hear Your children now. You are the same. You are the same God. You answered prayers back, and You will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are.
Lift it up, church.
Great is Thy faithfulness.
Aren't you thankful for his faithfulness today? His goodness, his kindness. Scriptures tell us he is slow to anger and rich in kindness and compassion towards us. Oh, I'm so thankful for that today. You sense his presence here, right? He comes where he is wanted, and he is wanted. His spirit is here. It's welcome here. The psalmist says, praise awaits you in this place, oh God. We need to meet with the Savior. He's the only one that can do anything about what we're going through. So we're just grateful to be in his presence today. As we continue to worship, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward and prepare to wait upon us for our tithes and offerings. We come today not just to bring a song, but to bring the totality of who we are, and our giving of our resources as part of our worship to say, God, you are our provider then and you're our provider now. And so we honor you and we give back to you as an act of worship, as an act of surrender, and as an act of trust. And as we continue to worship today, I think it's great that we're going to turn the corner a little bit and celebrate the fact that we serve a God who is no longer in the grave. But he has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because he has risen, we will rise too. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. It's all about you. You are the center. We are not the center. Thank you for the power that you give us because you defeated death, hell, and the grave. The hope that we have in you. It's in your name we pray and sing and worship. And all God's people said, amen. Well, shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. And love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave. All right. Gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, yeah, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. No grave, gonna hold my body down. All right, sing it super. Oh, here we go. The fear is a tide, it's always telling me to run. Oh, love is a resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound. And there on the tree.
crucified. And he went on down the hill, and he took back every key, yeah. He rose up as a lion, and he set him on the captive free when there ain't no grave could hold his body down. There ain't no grave could hold his body down. When he heard the trumpet sound, yeah, he rose up out of the ground. There ain't no grave could hold his body down. There ain't no grave could hold his body down. Out of the grave, I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave,
living hope in a hostile world. That's because we are born again, according to Peter, unto a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. We just sang about that. Ain't no grave gonna hold his or our bodies down, because he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a day this has been already. We have prayed together. We've prayed for one another. We've worshiped. We've connected in community, fellowship around God's word, and great friends, forever friends that we share in Christ. And if you are a guest, we're really glad that you're here. All of you online, I think there's a lot of people all around the world, about 70 countries represented. There are a lot of people walking right out of that grave right now. That's walking, running music right there. So it is great to see you, and all of you online, we welcome you as well. Okay, did you see or hear Kamala Harris this week? When two University of Wisconsin students, fine young men, responded because candidate Harris was railing, of course, on Donald Trump, but also her pro-abortion speech, and as she was condemning the Supreme Court of the United States for overturning Roe versus Wade, promising that if she is president, she'll make abortion the national law, on and on. But in the midst of that, these two young men stood up, not disrespectfully, but forcefully, and said, one of them said, "Jesus is Lord." And then the other young man said, "Christ is King." Well, what happened next is despicable, really, because Kamala cackled and said, "You must be in the wrong rally. You must be in the wrong place. Jesus is Lord. Christ is King. You belong in that rally down the street." And so the crowd began to jeer. And along with Kamala, mock these young men. They were ceremoniously ejected from the 2,500 people that were in a basketball arena at the University of Wisconsin, one of their campuses, and jeered and mocked. One little lady shoved one of the young men on his way out. And when I saw that, I was reminded once again that we are living as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, in a very hostile world that is becoming more and more hostile to those of us who name the name of Christ and who stand for biblical truth. But I, for one, want to stand with those two courageous young men who stood in that environment and said, "Jesus is Lord and Christ is King." Now, I know Kamala said she's going to be in church today down in Atlanta. I hope she is. She needs to be in church. And I hope she hears the gospel, because there is a verse of scripture which says, "Those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof." I tell you this, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. But he reminds us that we are in a spiritual battle. And there's so much hate in the world. While the Christian message is a message of hope and a message of love, but in our culture, this is a spiritual battle. In my book, the Jesus book that we're releasing today, for Prestonwood, I have a chapter on the Bible and worldview, because what this really is a war of worldviews, a biblical worldview and a secularist worldview. That's the battle that's going on in our world and in this culture, a war that is a spiritual war, a supernatural thing is going on here behind the scenes. And the battle is really not against Republicans or Democrats or denominations or various kinds of cultures. It is a battle between truth and untruth, a battle between truth and lies. Prestonwood Church is founded and grounded upon this book, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I've showed up here for the past 35 plus years with a Bible in my hand and the Word of God in my mouth. And what God has chosen to bless in this church is the proclamation of this gospel, this good news of Christ, and the teaching and the truth of God's Word. Last week we preached on the blood of Christ from 1 Peter, and it occurred to me what the old preachers used to say: we are built on the blood, the book, and the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what 1 Peter is about: the blood and the book and the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. I'm calling this book and this sermon the Jesus Book, because Jesus and the Bible, though not the same, are one. And the more you get to know your Bible, the more you get to know Jesus, who he is, and what he can do to change your life. This book, beyond a book, the living, breathing Word of God. And no penny-ante politician can destroy this book. They can defame it, they can deny it, they can dilute it, but they cannot destroy it. Because as we're going to see in this message, the Word of God, well, let's just look at our text. It says, since you have been born again, verse 23 of 1 Peter 1, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word, what is this word? This word is the good news that was preached to you. The good news that Jesus is Lord, that Christ is King, that he died for you, that he rose again, that he's coming again to receive all who trust in him. And there is no grave that can hold him back, and there's no grave that can bury this book, because this book is alive forevermore. And what this country needs more than anything is a revival of the Bible. A revival of the Bible. And it starts in the pulpits across this nation. And with Christians. I heard a lot about a little boy who went to Sunday school. His parents didn't go with him for some reason on this occasion. But when he was in Sunday school, he heard about the revival that was going to be at the church. It was going to be some meetings, a revival meeting. And he went home and his mother said, well, what did they teach you in Sunday school today? Well, he said, I learned that we're going to have a revival at the church. She said, a revival? She said, yes, we're going to have a revival. Well, I think he was close to what we really need. Revival is a revival. We need a rebirth of the church and a renewal and a revival of the Bible, God's word. Our church stands upon this truth, and it will stand forever as long as we stand on Christ, our cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, and the Christ of the Bible. And so let's give thanks to God for his word. And let's never, never be ashamed or afraid to stand for truth, even in a hostile world. Francis Dixon, a Bible teacher, said, it has been hated, talking about the Bible. It has been hated and hounded as no other book has ever been. And yet indestructible, despised and yet honored, derided and yet highly esteemed, declared dead and yet alive. Mighty emperors and kings and priests have shunned no toil and no guilt in order to exterminate it. Wise and scholarly men have thoroughly refuted it, and now that higher criticism lords over it and science has done away with it, it is spreading still over the whole earth in millions of copies and hundreds of languages. You can't stop the Word of God. It is indomitable. It is indestructible. It is unstoppable. Why? Because it is the living, breathing Word of God. Let's talk about it for a few moments. The total perfection of God's Word. The total perfection of God's Word. We are told that this new birth of ours comes as a result of not a perishable seed, but an imperishable, a living and abiding Word of God. The imperishable seed is the seed of God's Word. And just as the seed of man, coupled with the egg, produces life, the Word of God, when it arrives in the power of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of men and women, it produces life. Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. The Bible is not antique or modern. It is eternal. In fact, the psalmist said, your word, O Lord, is forever settled, fixed in the heavens. In eternity past and in eternity future, the Word of God lives. Before Moses ever laid down the law, before the psalmist ever wrote a hymn, before Jesus ever walked on the earth, before Peter or Paul ever wrote a letter from prison. The Word of God was formed and fixed in the heart of God forever and ever. This book is inspired, meaning it is breathed out. You've heard of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's the Bible in a sentence. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. And John 3:16 is coupled with 2 Timothy 3:16, another great verse in the Bible, which says all scripture is given, it's a gift from God, what a gift, is given by inspiration of God. That is the word, which means to breathe out. Breathe out. God breathed out his word. The breath of God is in this book and cannot therefore cease to exist no more than God himself could cease to exist. God has preserved and protected his words through the generations. It's truly amazing. But in the inspiration of the Bible, this book is not just an inspiring book. There are many inspiring books and inspiring stories, and you can listen to inspiring sermons. I hope this is one of them. But the Bible is inspired in a different sense, not inspiring as in human inspiration, but divine, divinely inspired, breathed out. Just as I am speaking, out of my lungs comes breath. And through my larynx and my vocal cords, the breath comes. And over my tongue, words are formed. And my breath, therefore, creates these words and what you're hearing today. So it is when God breathed out his life into this book, we have the veritable, very word of God. The word of God is perfect and it is pure, every word of it. I believe in what we call the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. Say, what does that mean? Verbal, that obviously means words. So the Bible is not just inspired in parts or paragraphs, but in words. You can't have mathematics without numbers. And you can't have truth without words. You can't have the Bible without words. And when it comes to the Word of God, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every, what? Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is foolish to say that the Bible was inspired in just the big picture kind of way. No, the Bible is inspired truth without any mixture of error. It is a verbally inspired book. The Word of God says over 2,000 times in the Bible, phrases like, and God said, or the Word of God said. And then, of course, the Bible as the Word of God. My favorite term for the Bible these days is the Jesus book. And the reason I say that is because all of the Bible, the verbal plenary, and that word plenary means all of it. Inspiration means God breathed, the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. But it has one theme, though it was written over a period of 1,600 plus years, 40 different human authors breathed upon by God, led by the Spirit to write. And yet one central theme, there are many subjects in the Bible, so many subjects. I've spent a lifetime preaching on the various themes and subjects of the Bible. But there is one central theme, and that theme is that God loves you. And yet, man sinned against God and broke God's commandments. But God had a plan, and that plan was to redeem us. And so through the centuries, God was working out his plan in order to deliver us, his Son, the Savior, Jesus. And all of the Old Testament in preparation for the New Testament message of the apostles, all of that was written so that you could know God. So that you could know God. And the way you know God is through the message of the gospel, he said, which is the message of Jesus. One day after the resurrection, two people were walking on the road to Emmaus, their hometown, having been in Jerusalem. They were despondent and hopeless because they thought it was all over. They had believed in Christ the Messiah, but now he appeared to be dead and gone forever. Jesus came out of the grave, and he's walking with these two. They didn't recognize them. We don't know exactly why they didn't realize they were walking with the risen Redeemer. But Jesus asked them some questions about what was going on and why they were so sad. And they said, haven't you heard? And they said, we thought he was the Messiah, but he wasn't. And then it says, Jesus began with Moses and the prophets. Moses is the human author of the first five books of the Bible. We call it the Pentateuch, the five books. And then the prophets, which carry on the message of the gospel in the Old Testament. So both patriarchs and prophets. Jesus began with Moses and the prophets and showed them in all the scriptures those things concerning himself. He walked with them, talked with them, and explained to them. Can you imagine this Bible study? He explained to them those things in the Old Testament that applied to him. He no doubt took them to the Garden of Eden and spoke of Adam and Eve's sin and the animal that was slain that covered their shame and the blood that began to flow. He no doubt would have taken them to Mount Moriah with Abraham when the hand of God stayed Abraham from taking his son and a ram was provided in the thicket. He no doubt took them into Egypt and spoke of the Passover and the blood. He no doubt took them to Isaiah 53 when he spoke of the suffering service. He walked, he talked. He showed them in all the scriptures. It doesn't say he showed them all the things in the scripture concerning himself, or they'd still be out there walking. But it says in all the scriptures. And again, this is the Old Testament scriptures. If you're missing Christ in the Old Testament, you're missing the meaning of the Bible. Because Christ is present always on every page in some way, in type, in symbol, in form, in prophecy, in teaching, in truth. And the Old Testament is saying someone is coming. In the New Testament, the Gospels say someone has come. And the New Testament book of Acts shows us how to get this gospel to the world. And then the epistles, the letters that are written tells us who Jesus is and how we are to grow in our faith. And then the revelation that Christ is coming again. Yes, this is the Jesus book. And as I said at the outset of this message, the more you get to know your Bible, the more you get to know Jesus. And that's the goal. As the Apostle Paul said, to know him and love him more and more. So there is this perfect book, God's total perfection. And then there's the saving purpose of the Bible, which really I've already talked about. But verse 23 says, since you have been born again by the living word of God. We have new birth because the word of God and the testimony of Jesus has transformed our lives. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing through the word of God. Now, I have loved the Bible since I was a little boy. I really have. And the reason that I have known the scripture like Timothy since I was a child was my parents, my brother, older brother, but my grandfather taught me the scripture as a child. In fact, I learned how to read, reading my Bible as a little boy on my grandfather's lap. Virtually every evening, I would crawl up in his lap and he would read the stories of the Bible or read the Bible itself. I didn't learn to read with Dick and Jane and Spot. I learned with Moses and David and Goliath and Samson, and I reveled in those Old Testament stories. I loved them, all the adventure. If you think the Bible's boring, you must not have read it. I think you're boring if you think the Bible is boring. It's not the Bible, it's you. It's boring. Because the Bible is so exciting, it's so full of adventure and excitement. But at some point in my life, like those two walking along with Jesus on that road to Damascus, Jesus stepped out of the pages of those stories, and the message of the gospel, the good news, became real to me. And that's the reason, as a small boy, I professed my faith and confessed myself to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And obviously, it was childlike faith, but it was all on the scriptures. It was the fact that God became real to me. Jesus began to live in me, but it all came because of the Word of God. I love the fact that I grew up in a church like this church, growing up, going to Vacation Bible School and pledging allegiance to the Bible. I still love it when I see our little kids at PCA or Vacation Bible School. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, and will make it a lamp into my feet and a light into my path and hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. So that's how I started walking with Jesus. Now, flash forward to 7 decades later. Dr. Jeremiah Johnston and I, along with our two sons, Jason and Josh, we were in England. And for the first time, I got to go to Oxford and see that. And because Dr. Johnston had studied at Oxford, he still had his library card, and he still knew the librarian. You're not surprised by that, are you? And so he got us into the bowels of the library, down deep, where they kept the most precious artifacts and books and materials. And we're there waiting as the librarian, the specialist in the archives, came forward with a piece of plastic. But in that plastic were fragments, little pieces of parchment, penned in letters in Greek. Just piece here, there. And it was the Gospel of Matthew, a portion of it. It's called the Jesus Fragment because in it are the words of Jesus in this portion of God's Word. And I looked at it, held it in my hands. And it was a very moving, emotional moment for me because I truly did just flash back to my grandfather's chair and how I read the Word of God and learned to love God's Word as a little boy. Now here I am all these years later, not just still believing or barely hanging on, but believing God's Word now more than ever. My childhood faith is now matured over a lifetime of study and devotion and commitment to understanding what this book is talking about, what this book is saying. And as my friend and mentor, Adrian Rogers, used to say, I'm not finding hidden flaws in the Bible. I'm finding hidden beauties. What a beauty that was to hold that ancient fragment in my hands and to remember this is the Jesus book. This is what the Bible is all about. It's the Word of God that brought to me and to you salvation in Jesus Christ. And then the transforming power of God's Word. Let's talk about that. It is the Word of God who satisfies us, which satisfies us. It is the bread of heaven that meets our deepest needs, that strengthens us for the daily challenges of life. It is God's word that saves us, strengthens us, satisfies us. It is the word of God stored in our hearts that meets our very needs. So how should we respond? In my book, The Jesus Book, I talk about a lot of these things. Can you trust the Bible? Is the Bible authentic? How we got our Bible? How the Bible's divided up? It's the kind of book that someone who's searching for what the Bible is about could learn. And then also for maybe a new believer, if someone is a new believer and they're unfamiliar with the Bible, I think, you know, a rookie Christian, if you will, could take this book and it's written in such a way that you would appreciate it. And or a veteran believer, a longtime Christian, I think could take this book because we talk about biblical worldview. We talk about biblical warfare. We talk about the things of the Bible. We talk about how to meditate on God's word and how to grow in our faith and how to read the Bible and understand it for yourself. And I say that there are several ways in which we are to live or to read and understand our Bible. Number one, let's start with, you're to hear God's word. Hear the word of God. That's what you're doing right now, isn't it? That's what you're doing, those of you who are watching online. You connected so that you could worship and then hear the word of God. And so throughout the Bible, you have instances in which people gather to hear the word of God. When Jesus would gather people, he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." So it starts there. It starts with our opening our ears and hearing with the ears of our hearts the word of God. And in hearing the word of God, there's power in simply hearing it. Just hearing it. That's why you showed up today. I mean, there are a lot of reasons to come to church. A lot of good reasons. The community, the connections, the family, the friends. The worship. And we do all these things. We have the gift of Christmas, and I love our sports ministry. I was out there yesterday, and thousands of kids and their families. We do a lot of different things to gather people and reach people. But the one thing we do is to stand in this pulpit and teach and preach the word of God. And that's why God has chosen to bless this congregation. That's why God has chosen to keep this church going and growing with the message of hope to the world. It's all represented by what stands here, the pulpit, the proclamation of the gospel, so that you come and you hear the word of the Lord. When you come, pray in advance that God would speak to you through his word. It's not just about feelings. There's emotions. Certainly there are feelings. But we don't base what we believe on our fickle feelings or our flesh, but on the facts and the truth of God's word. So that's why you need to hear the word of God. It's been amazing to me, the Bible in a year. We started this with the hopes that a couple of 100,000 people would get online with us at pray.com and hear the Bible being read in a short application of what we just heard. And now 52 million downloads later, people all over the world are connecting and clicking in just to hear the word of God. It's powerful, isn't it? Then read the word of God for yourself. Read the word of God. We've got all kinds of Bibles and Bible translations, and yet, unfortunately, too many Christians don't read their own Bibles. And you might admit to yourself, I just don't read God's word. I can tell you that reading the word of God has been the secret of life for me. Reading it every single day. Because in reading the word of God, the Spirit of God begins to move in your life in ways that you could not expect. Now, I can tell you in reading the word of God, even for you hearing the word of God, not every time I come up here do I feel like being here. I do feel like being here today. I really am glad I'm here. But there may be some times along the way that, you know, I wasn't inspired to get here. It was a matter of obedience. And there may be times when you get up on Sunday morning, you don't feel like coming. You don't feel like listening. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like hearing a sermon or a message. You don't feel like it. But if you, by faith, will believe God and show up anyway, I can tell you every time I've heard the word of God, not every sermon I've ever heard, I'm not saying that, but every time I have heard the word of God preached, I have been blessed. and my life strengthened in ways that maybe I didn't even expect. And so, get up and read your Bible every day. Meet with God. Before you get into the world, get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you. Hear God's Word, read God's Word, and then meditate upon God's Word. Memorize and meditate upon the Word of God. I can tell you the most important discipline of my life, and I did this before I was a preacher, not just because I'm a preacher, and I'll do it for the rest of my days, and that is to memorize the Bible, portions of it, passages in it, scriptures, text. And the blessed person, according to Psalm 1, is the person who meditates on God's Word day and night. And so memorization, that is, you say, well, you know, I really not that good at memorizing. Especially now, I drank a lot of Diet Coke over my life, and I don't remember things like I used to remember things. I guarantee you, if I gave you $100 for every scripture you memorized, you would be a memory machine. Yes, you would. You know you would. It's all about motivation. And so I'm always motivated to memorize scripture. And you can write them on little passages or cards. You can do it online, all kinds of ways, but just do it. And then to meditate means to ponder it, think reflectively on it. It's like meditation is like humming a song. You ever get a tune in your head that just, you just kind of hear it over and over, you can't get it out of your head? That's a kind of meditation. And when we talk about meditation, we're not talking about Eastern mysticism, which empties the brain. No, we're talking about biblical meditation, which opens the mind to spiritual truth and power of God's Word. And so when you meditate upon God's Word, you will discover that the Word of God fills you and flows in you and through you. And the final thing is, we are to share the Word of God or proclaim the Word of God, because this is too good to keep to ourselves. And this is why we proclaim God's Word. This is why we teach God's Word. So love God's Word. Lean upon it hard by faith. Love it. Learn it. Live it. And you will find that your life is full of Jesus. At the end of the day, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus will transform you. And in heaven, we will have eternity to celebrate the living, eternal, abiding Word of God. Amen. So it's true, as Isaiah put it, as Peter quoted it, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, everyone standing. Do you know Jesus? Because that's the point of it all. Remember, I said there's one central theme of the Bible, and it is what Christ has done for us. And that's the story of salvation. That's the story of Jesus in the Jesus book. So I want to invite you now to publicly follow Christ, to stand for Christ. I told you about those two young men who stood up and said, Jesus is Lord and Christ is King, in a very hostile environment, apparently. But you are in a very friendly environment here. You're in a loving church. Nobody's going to mock you. Nobody's going to jeer at you. Nobody's going to laugh at you. To the contrary, we're going to pray for you and celebrate you. We are going to praise God for you. And if you will come and receive Christ as Savior, we'll sit down with you, share more fully what it means to be a Christ follower. You can believe on the Word of God. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the Father who sent me, has everlasting life. That's John 5:24. He who hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life. He believes the Word of God and trusts in Christ. So I'm going to ask you in just a moment to come forward and boldly stand to say, Christ is Lord. Walking down a church aisle doesn't make anybody a Christian. But it is the act of faith. It's the testimony of your life that says, I'm now a follower of Christ. I want to follow Jesus. There are many people who grow up in religion and maybe know a little bit about the Bible, but don't know Jesus. So we're inviting you. If you're online, there's a number, 74788. And if you will text 74788 and text in the word Jesus, text Jesus to that number, we're standing by to pray with you and encourage you and to help you. And then right in this room, upstairs, there are ministers on the lower level. Our pastors are here as well. And I'm going to invite you to come forward. What does the Word of God say? Jesus said in the Jesus book, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you don't confess me before men, I'll not confess you when I come with my holy angels. And so I'm inviting you to confess Christ by coming forward today. And when you come forward, you'll be saying, in my life, I'm saying Jesus is Lord. In my life, Christ is King. So pray and invite Christ into your life right now in your own words. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for my sins. I believe and trust in you with all my heart. Call on his name. Be sincere. You say, well, I got a lot of things to clean up. You got that backwards. If you wait till you get stuff cleaned up and worked out in your life, you may never come. If you're waiting on a certain feeling, well, just waiting on that holy zap to get me. No, you come by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You put feet to your faith and come and make a public decision for Christ. And there's something about coming forward that seals it and settles it and solidifies it in your heart. It will bless the church and shame the devil and strengthen your own life. Come forward and make your decision public for Christ. There are others, you're a believer, but you've not been baptized the way the Jesus book tells us to be baptized, which is after we've come to faith in Christ, by immersion, all in for Christ. So some of you want to come and make an appointment for your baptism today. I talked to a young man when we were signing books between services. He said, I came to Jesus 2 weeks ago. And he said, I can't wait to be baptized. So if you've not been baptized as a believer in Jesus, come forward today. If you're a baptized believer in Christ, but you're a member of another church, you want to join Preston Wood, come and set the pace for others to follow you to Jesus. You make that decision for Christ and God will bless it. What does the Jesus book say? Jesus book talks about the church and being engaged and involved in the church, not just hanging out with Christians, but getting involved in the ministry of the church and proclaiming the gospel. Okay, so you come and you come first and follow Christ. Lord, take now this time of decision and bless it into the hearts and lives of people who will now say yes to you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your cross and resurrection. We believe. Now help us to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you on your way.